morning, everyone. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 23 this morning. And I'm going to need the remote for the PowerPoint. There's a remote chance I'll obtain it. Psalm 23, page 392 in our church Bibles. Psalm 23 is a psalm of reliance and confidence in our Lord's restorative care. It is a comfort to the church, always has been, and I think always will be until our Lord returns. Psalm 23 is a psalm of great comfort when we are most broken. When we are in the midst of desolation, Psalm 23 restores our consolation. Last week, we discovered from verses 1 through 3 how the Lord my shepherd restores my soul. And so today then, let's move on to verse 4 to discover how the Lord my shepherd restores my security. Although we'll be parking on the fourth verse, let's read the entire psalm. The 23rd psalm, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. A table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's word this morning. Let's pray as we prepare to explore it. Lord, we thank You that You restore our soul. You are the God who restores. And when we stumble, when we fall and fail, You restore us back because we are the recipients of Your grace and Your good pleasure in Christ. Thank You that when we walk through the dark valley, as we will from time to time, we can fear no evil. And for this we give You praise and thanks. Teach us, Lord, to trust in You. Amen. There are times when the Lord our shepherd leads us to pleasant places. We lie down in His green pastures. We refresh our hearts by His quiet, fresh, sparkling waters. And we walk right paths on the way to a beautiful horizon, our shepherd leading us all the way. And all is well. Green pastures, quiet waters, right paths, all is well. But then, there are other times when our shepherd leads us through valleys of deep darkness. As Psalm 23, verse 4 says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew phrase, valley of the shadow of death, can be just as well translated, the darkest valley. And we all stumble through dark valleys. Disappointments, frustrations, discouragements. And we struggle to find our footing in those shadowed valleys of cancer. Shadowed valleys of divorce, loss of a job, a severing of a relationship, the death of a loved one. And then there is that shrouded valley that each one of us must traverse at our appointed time. Death Valley. And our good shepherd is familiar with our dark valleys. He knows the terrain of our darkest valley. He's hiked through it before. His adversaries slandered him. He wept at the tomb of a friend. A trusted companion betrayed him for money, and his closest friend denied even knowing him, not just once, but three times. He was once in such excruciating anguish that he sweat blood. And he was pierced by the iron of death. Our good shepherd knows how to lead you through your dark valley. He's familiar with its terrain. He has traversed it before. Our Lord, our shepherd, knows our valley. And he knows us. So even in the darkest valley, the Lord our shepherd can restore our security. And so we read, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Even in the darkest valley, even in the valley of the shadow of death, even with all the threats and struggles, I can walk through that dark valley without fear. But how so? How can I walk through a dark valley without fear? How can I walk through a dark valley in security? I'm just practicing my dark valley. This thing, I tell you, this button right here is the button of death. Death Valley. So how can I walk through Dark Valley with the confidence that I'm secure all the way through? As we continue through Psalm 23, verse 4, we see an answer to that question. First of all, my shepherd secures me in his presence. The sheep are not alone in the valley of deep darkness. The shepherd leads them there. Now that seems strange, doesn't it? The same shepherd that makes me lie down in green pastures, the same shepherd that leads me to still waters, the same shepherd who leads me along right paths, this shepherd leads me into the dark valley? At first, it doesn't make sense. Why does he do that? In Israel, by late spring or early summer, the green pasture in the lowlands has been completely grazed over. nothing left of it. And so the shepherd must lead his flock on a migration to the highlands, to the lush green pastures that are waiting there to be grazed upon, up on higher ground. It's there that the next green pasture awaits. But in their migration to higher ground, the sheep must pass through deep, rugged wadis. A wadi is a dry stream bed cut through the semi-desert hills. So a wadi is really a narrow valley. And the air at the bottom of the wadi is heavy with the rising heat of the day. And the cliffs lining the wadi block the sun, casting shadows along the depths of the wadi's walls. And the sheep pass through the wadi, pass through this narrow valley with great difficulty, great struggle. There's no green pasture. There's no quiet water. The heat is oppressive. The climb is steep. And the sheep pass through the wadi in great danger. A lion might be crouching on the edge of a cliff, ready to pounce down on the sheep as they file through the valley below. The migration through the wadi is a trek through the valley of the shadow of death. But the sheep fear no evil. The sheep are secure, because their shepherd is with them. So though the shadows are dark, and the climb is steep, and the land is arid, and the lion crouches, the sheep are secure. Secure in the presence of the shepherd. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. As I pass through the wadi, the dark valley, on the way to higher ground, where new green pastures and fresh quiet waters await. There are times when we, like sheep, must pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you're there now. Our good shepherd leads you into that dark and desert place where the shadows are long and dark and deep. The Lord our shepherd takes you into that oppressive place where the climb is steep and danger lurks. And you wonder why. It wasn't. It wasn't long ago that you were lying down in the green pasture, sipping the still and quiet and fresh water, walking along the right and sunny path. That wasn't that long ago, but now. Now you're in the deep and dark valley where the heat is oppressive and the climb is steep and the danger lurks. And you haven't wandered off there. No, you haven't wandered off. Your shepherd has led you there. And you wonder why. Why has he led you into this dark night of the soul? And this is the reason why. Your good shepherd is leading you to higher ground. And the dark valley is the only path toward the higher ground. Your good shepherd is leading you to the higher ground, where new, lush, green pastures await, where fresh, new, refreshing, still waters have already been readied for you. And in the meantime, on your way there, as you pass through the wadi, that dark and narrow and winding valley, the valley of shadows, you are secure. You are secure, for the Lord your shepherd is with you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, my shepherd, are with me. Now, take note. You are not just walking to the valley. You are not just walking in the valley. You are walking through the valley. The lush green pasture waits for you up there on higher ground. You're not pitching your tent in the valley. You're not building your home in the valley. You're just passing through. You're not settling there, just passing through. On your way to higher ground, where new, lush, green pastures await. And Jesus, your shepherd, is with you all the way there. So how can I walk through the dark valley without fear? My shepherd secures me in his presence. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In every dark valley, in every shadowed trial, in every dismal disappointment, every distressing dilemma, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, leading me to higher ground. And when I traverse one last valley, in my final hour, the valley of the shadow of death, I will have no fear. No fear. For you, my Jesus, will be close beside me, securing my heart with dying grace, as you shepherd me through that deepest valley to the highest ground. Now, not only does my shepherd secure me in his presence, but also my shepherd secures me by his rod and his staff so that I can walk through that dark valley without fear. We are assured of this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For not only are you with me, but also your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd's rod has two purposes. The shepherd uses his rod to drive away predators and to protect the sheep. The rod is first and foremost an instrument to drive away predators. When a predator appears, a skilled shepherd throws the rod with strength and speed and accuracy, and the rod hits the beast with a powerful blow. And in this way, the rod is an extension of the shepherd's strong, mighty right arm. Likewise, when Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us through the dark valley, he protects us with his rod, his right arm of strength and power. In the dark valley, our shepherd protects us. He restores our security with the rod of his mighty right arm. And that same rod that fends off the predator also disciplines the sheep. The rod of protection against predator becomes a rod of discipline for sheep. When a wayward sheep begins to wander away, it soon hears the whistle of the shepherd's rod passing over its head, landing with a thump right next to it, sending the sheep scurrying back to the flock. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The rod of discipline brings us back. Oh, good shepherd, with the loving discipline of your rod, you correct my soul's wanderings. You send me back to your right paths. So let us not regard lightly the Lord's discipline. And let us not lose heart or be discouraged when he rebukes us. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. So the shepherd employs this rod in two ways to protect the sheep. The rod protects the sheep from predators, and the rod protects the sheep from themselves, from their own wandering. And doesn't the Lord do the same for us? As we walk through the dark valley, he protects us from that roaring lion that prowls about seeking whom he may devour. And he protects us from our own wanderings by his rod of discipline, sending us scurrying back to him. Now, not only does the shepherd carry a rod, he also carries a staff. And while the rod conveys the shepherd's power and strength, the staff conveys the shepherd's gentleness and kindness. The shepherd uses his staff to gently draw the sheep into intimate relationship with one another. For example, if a lamb becomes separated from its mother, the shepherd will extend his staff to the lamb, gently lift it with the crook of the staff, and then carry the lamb back to its mother, safe and sound. The shepherd also uses his staff to gently draw us into intimate relationship with himself. A shepherd will hold his staff upon the side of a sheep so that they are in touch with one another. And then the two walk together along the way. The shepherd's staff gently upon the side of the sheep, walking together in touch with one another as if they were walking hand in hand. Likewise, even in the darkest valley, even in the arduous climb to higher ground, our good shepherd Jesus gently holds his staff upon you so that you walk together in touch with one another on your way together to higher ground. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod of protection and your staff of gentleness. They reassure me and they comfort me. Yes, the dark valley is fearsome, it's threatening, it's arduous, it's oppressive. But as fearsome as the valley may be, the Lord your shepherd restores your security by his rod and his staff. His rod reassures you with his strong protection from the enemy of our souls. And his staff comforts you with his gentle touch along the way. So when you walk through a dark valley, as inevitably you will, perhaps even now you're walking through a dark valley, you can traverse that valley all the way through without fear. For the Lord your shepherd restores your security. He restores that sense in your heart that you are secure as he leads you into his presence, reassuring you with the rod of his protection and comforting you with the staff of his gentleness. All the way to those new green pastures, to that new still water up there on higher ground. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. You restore my security. For you yourself, my good shepherd, you are with me. And your rod reassures me with your protection, and your staff comforts me with your gentleness. And so then, let's trust our shepherd to restore our security in the dark valley. I remember a time 29 years ago when I was walking through, or should I say driving through, a dark valley. Rhonda and I had just arrived in Brazil in January of 1989. We landed in the megalopolis of São Paulo. Some veteran missionaries met us. We stayed with them for a few days. And then they drove us south to the house that they had rented for us in the city of Campinas, a city of 1 million people, where we were getting ready to attend language school to learn the Portuguese language. Portuguese being the language of Brazil. But having just moved into our house in Campinas, we had not yet even been to our first day of language school. We did not know anything of Portuguese. The veteran missionaries dropped us off at the house, waved goodbye. They said something we didn't understand. And they drove off. And there we were, alone in that house, nestled in the midst of a city of 1 million people. Rhonda, our 5-year-old son Gabriel, our 2-year-old daughter Ruth, not knowing a soul, just settling in and waiting for that first day of language school. Well, there has to be a way to redeem any situation. And so Rhonda decided to make homemade pizza for supper. But she needed yeast. "Chris," she said, "can you go out and buy some yeast?" I said, "Of course, honey. For you and pizza, certainly. I'll find a grocery store somewhere and I'll buy some yeast. And I'll be right back. Won't be long." Well, I drove around till I found what looked like a grocery store. And I walked in to find the yeast, and then I realized, I don't know the Portuguese word for yeast. There's no way I could read the label. Oh, I'll ask a wait a minute. I can't ask the cashier. I wouldn't understand how to ask, and I wouldn't understand the cashier's answer. Well, then I'll just wander through the aisles, and I'll find something that looks like yeast. So I went through the aisles of the grocery store, carefully inspecting each and every item on each and every shelf. Can you believe it? Does this look like yeast? Well, maybe. Maybe this is. I finally found a packet of something that looked like it might be yeast. I sure hope it is. I said I'd be right back, and I've been gone an hour. Paid for it with some sort of currency I didn't yet recognize, but apparently they let me through. Went back to my car and headed my way home. But it's a city of 1 million people. And I soon found myself wandering about through the streets, trying to navigate my way home. And it didn't take me long to realize I was lost. By then the sun had set and the dark shadows were beginning to drape over the city. I turned here, I turned there. I think this is the right direction. No, it's that way. No, it's that way. About 45 minutes later, I found myself sitting in my car, enshrouded in darkness of night, at a dead-end street, having no idea where I was in the city or how to get home. The edifices surrounding me loomed large in the encroaching darkness of the night. The streets were only dimly lit. And I was in the valley among the looming edifices, the valley of that dead end street, having no idea where I was or how to get back home. It was then that I first learned to trust the Lord. And that dead-end street was the valley where I learned to trust the Lord. That night in January of 1989, at that dead-end street, in Campinas, Brazil. That's when and where I first learned to trust the Lord. I had no other option. Every human support had been ripped out from me. My extended family was thousands and thousands of miles away. There was no cell phone at that time, no GPS. I didn't have a map in the glove compartment. I couldn't have read it if I had. I was a stranger in a strange land, among a people of strange tongue. I couldn't ask anyone for directions. I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't understand the response. I was alone in the shroud of night. Every human support ripped away from me. And not only so, but alone in the dark valley of that dead-end street with the edifices looming high above, every pretense of self-reliance had been stripped away. How hard can it be to go and buy a packet of yeast? And yet it had been a daunting and even dangerous endeavor. As I imagined the cold steel of a knife pressed against my neck, followed by an ominous demand for money there in the darkness of that dead-end street in the belly of Campinas. All security gone. All pretense of self-reliance evaporated. And with every human support withdrawn and every pretense of self-reliance evaporated, there is only one to whom I could turn. Only one. And that's when and where I learned to trust the Lord. There in that dark valley, 29 years ago. I cried out for help. I clamored for the Good Shepherd to come to my aid. I turned the car around, drove for a while until I saw something I kind of remembered having passed on my way to the store. And 2.5 hours into my errand to go by east, I walked into the house with what turned out actually to be yeast. The Lord, my shepherd, guided me through that dark valley, safely home. And I think that was the first time in my life when I really had to trust Him. And He was faithful. When you go through your dark valley, trust your shepherd to restore your security, to deliver you from fear. He'll bring you safely home. Let's pray. We thank You that You are our good shepherd, O Lord. Thank You that it's in the dark valleys, in our times in the valleys, when we learn to trust You. And thank You, Lord, for that assurance that we walk only through the valley to lush pastures and still waters on higher ground. Thank You, Good Shepherd. In Your name.